Interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTWRLM461. Or the future, when you haven't heard this and you need to type in an episode number, that might pop up something for you. Get all the links to this broadcast and a player, given we have the network, because this is donation month. One month out of a year, folks. That's all it takes. And there's no commercials on this network. So I hope people appreciate what we've done. I really, the more I think as every year goes on and people donate, I truly appreciate your support and all that. Just to keep even a few voices at this point going. And then we had the problem now with Grimner dying and having to make the baton shift to Vince. And a little bit of the bobbling that's going on there. I haven't even seen anybody talking about much of it in the chat room, but that's going, again, the pressure's on to keep a voice going and keep voices going and do consistently. So also in donation month, and reminder to me, if you have a content and you have your act down, not more than an act, then your information, contact somebody on the network. Probably Vince Easley again. And, they can set you up, I suppose. It's all still sitting there, just waiting to be done. Last week, I was remiss to say thank you to Grammy Mary, who's been consistent for years now to keep the Spreaker going. So everybody helps in the way they can. If you can't do other things, you can't do a broadcast, maybe you can keep the network running so that someone else may have the opportunity. And then I would hope that we just keep coming together, keep refortifying what the truth is, relative to what's out there. And behind the woodshed, I'm just bringing you things to open up cans of whoop ass on all these miscreants. They call them politicians or officials. So I thank you for all your donations to get me here to continue getting that out. And I know I may be boring. I may not be something that, not exciting. It's not enough energy behind the woodshed from me to create interviews that everybody likes to just sit there and be entertained by. Or think they're being entertained by. I've never been that way. And I didn't start broadcasting to become that way. But I did see, as I saw society that was crumbling, I saw the ways it would crumble from inside. And I also saw how people before me had made major mistakes. Not that things I would do wouldn't be a mistake if, given they were unproven, but charting that course with that in mind has made an ability for me to see things and do things that are not necessarily orthodox, and not so unorthodox that they can call me names. And this is one of the problems. They always try to call you names. And they try to get you on the bad side of it. And I've been trying to show you how you don't do that, how you go about not having that happen to you. And it happened to us here again this last month relative to my petition. Before I get on too far, I got to get something. I was looking out the window, my window yesterday, and I witnessed a murder right there out my window. The horrorism filled me, worthy of Alfred Hitchcock, seeing that many crows. I hope I didn't murder that joke too badly. So, what's the seriousness of all this? We've got this nature that's out my window, and it's just doing its winter thing, and it's fascinating to watch, and the trees are coming back, and all the cool is coming on, like I told you, the false spring. And then we got to turn around, and we got to deal with all this nonsense where government becomes our enemy. And I've told you, it has not surprised me, because we live in an occupied territory. I don't care where you live. I don't care what form of government. We live in an occupied territory. One of the few places in the world was the United States having the ability to step up pretty quickly, having the right in the documentation in the black and white to alter or abolish when you see maladministration. Problem with the government. You don't have to put up with it. So COVID hit. I'm like, all right, okay, this is going to be it. 2 years later, we're still wondering what the joke is. And not happy too much about that joke. Real murders going on. Not just a bunch of crows outside. I don't know. I just say that stuff and I just want to stop talking. Where are people? Where are we? Oh, we rally up on those convoys, which, again, if that's what it takes to get you going, great. But you can't stop that. You can't stop there. And I look at what's going down in the world, and we're going to touch a little bit of Canada. We're going to show a little bit of, people may not be interested in this. I think this is a crucial observation for us people in the United States, at least, over there in Eastern Europe. And I'm got to tell you that I don't see it any different what's going on in the world, what the United States does in the world, any different than I'm suffering on the West Coast of the United States relative to a mining claim and what the government does to make, vilify people and create a condition that doesn't exist all the time while they have no cause. And something happened this last month. I told you we filed that petition with the sheriff. Well, we at least delivered it to the post office, and I told you there would probably be a problem. Well, let me touch a couple things on that petition and then explain what just happened. And it all, I guess, works for the good if we continue to press, but we have to be there to press. And when I tell you things to do and to try, it doesn't come without the potential that you're going to have other fortifications built in order to catch up the crime. Not just because it's your opinion you're being mistreated, but you can identify it. In this case, I've been able to predict things. And I've written them down, and that's what the record starts to do if you get really good at what you're doing. You really start paying attention. You get to do all this stuff. And because you're in a world where officials either don't want, they either are on the take, or they don't understand enough to even become a representative for your cause, nor do they, even under their taking of an office, nor do they understand what it actually means to be, let's say, a local county commissioner or official with the power to check the federal. That's their 10th Amendment. They don't have a clue on how all that works. And so when someone like myself comes along and says, well, here's some pointers, even so, why don't we try those first? You get slammed. People interfere with you, obstruct with you, and then you get pointed out, and then you become a little bit ostracized, and there's nobody coming to help. So I'm kind of amazed, you know, almost 100% of all the population, I would have to say the response I get on Twitter is it's not even there. I get a few people that will respond to my Twitters on things that I believe are the key to understand and to follow. And you know, there's got to be something wrong when even by accident of all the people that would just come along and see these things, I'd get a lot more response or in minds. Or in BitChute, I would get more response even by accident. That I don't get the response. It's really interesting to me what I'm looking at here. Why aren't people looking at what they need to do instead of doing what they don't need to do? Let me get back quick to this petition that we wrote. You know, we have a little bit of a hitch in the giddy up, but it ends up being this interestingly, potentially cool thing. And I think it's cool. I got to write another letter. Not that I like to write the letters, but it solidifies things. It makes records of certainty and truth to things that have been stated in the face of people that would dismiss you, would try to turn away. These are officials now that think they're doing okay, think they can dismiss the condition against us. And as I say that, you should understand we're in some trouble as a society, and across the world we're the same problem. And it all can be reduced to the same models in a way, so that we can actually grasp what's going on. Let me read you a couple parts to the petition that I wrote. And I'm not going to be able to go through it, certainly. But I want you to hear what was in the record before something happened we found out here this last week, and which focused my whole intention because we had to pick up a problem and fix it. And I took it was an opportunity to do so. And this is what I'm looking for. I don't like all the work we have to do. And I don't like having to think about it. And then waiting for something that doesn't happen. It's just a big pain. We should be free to go live our lives. And that we aren't should have been a big red light and a big loud bell. Now, we have more work to do. And maybe that guy behind the woodshed, I may not fully understand what that guy's saying, but he makes some points that maybe we should check out. Just maybe. By accident, I should get at least 10 people coming in and saying, hey, this is important. Someone else needs to see it. By accident. I get one or two, maybe. And so we have a society that is really in trouble here. And I'm saying this with a little bit of authority in that what I tell you, I told you last week, what I'm telling you, I do it. I do what I'm telling you to do. And we get a different response than anybody else around us. We make records that are against different than anybody else around us. We make steps in progress, ever so slow, but we move forward nonetheless. That more and more people have to start taking notice, even if they can't respond for some reason. I don't understand why they can't, but that's another problem. Our muscles, our liberty muscles, our being free muscles are atrophied, apparently. So let me read these things off a couple points out of our petition that I wrote. When we filed, we put it in the mail in the post office. Paragraph 121. If it gets out, you'll read this. Be advised, under 121, there is a false presumption that the mail is faithfully delivered. In order to cover its own criminality, we are vilified and obstructed by the Postmaster General for insisting upon an answer why legal mail is being misdelivered contrary to U.S. code and adversely affecting our remedies, leaving us with none. Paragraph 123. Halfway through, and then beginning to read. Be further advised, the U.S. Post Office will, or attempt to, misdeliver mail aiding and abetting fraud through mischaracterization, such as style, Exhibit 27. It has to do with the style of your name on a letter, on any charging instrument. And I have a image of a rule in the law, black and white, that anybody can read when you get to it, if you get to it. Again, this is a big problem in trying to deal with this officially. I want to give all the officials enough rope to hang themselves, and I don't want interference until that happens. So we kind of got to do it this way a bit, and I apologize. It's just a part of the strategy here. Again, we have a bunch of officials that aren't responding, and I don't have any more answers than to stick it back at them and say, okay, here's all the rules. Here's all the things you're missing. How about if we just get going with what's written, and we'll see where we get from there. Anyway, Exhibit 27. It's a picture of a rule. So style has to do with the characters of the letters of your name. As I've talked to you before, but going on here, reading, which create this style creates a prejudicial presumption furthering the crimes committed under color of authority against us, herein evidenced by that, or of which mail matter we will reject, further obstructing our communications with you. We're talking to the sheriff here. Or to further our right to have the crimes against us prosecuted. Let me move on to his. I can go. This will take hours to explain, just even these passages, because of the content of it. And I'm interrupting way too much more than just to read this, but I'm just, like, you have to know that there's a whole lot built into these paragraphs. And you can too, I guess, is the thing I want to keep saying. When you understand what's going on against us, you can call it out ahead of time. And that's what I'm doing here. I'm reading from you. What happened? I called out in this petition that we have sent to the sheriff. We sent through the mail. You're hearing now that we have predict that the U.S. Postmaster will be attacking us, will be misdelivering our mail, will be absconding with stuff and calling it like it's real delivery, will be misstyling our work, will be mischaracterizing what we do. This is your Postmaster General. All right. Paragraph 124, like I said, it'll take forever to describe this. I should just read it. I want you to know, I want everybody to understand what we're up against and not to use that to say, shrug your shoulders, it's not worth it. That's what they want. But moving back over, boy, I really get off of this. 124 in this petition, moving from about halfway through, with the postmaster obstructive threats and the U.S. Forest Service abuses or mail fraud, we may have difficulty communicating with you until they are stopped. In discussing this further with my friend on this, I just was telling him, I said, people would read this petition and kind of look and say, it's like you're paranoid. How would you read that, those passages, and say, hey, Postmaster General doing this? Yeah, this has been happening to us and to Jefferson Mining District for over a decade. And we have the evidence, so I can go ahead and assert. Yes, it's taken a long time, but we're dealing with a perpetual occupier and usurpation of our lives. And so this is a war that we've been in the whole time, whether anybody else wants to engage in it. We have said that the postmaster will create its own fraud, that it will misdeliver mail. That's the mail that you think gets out to places you are sending it to. We also know now that it gets photographed and people and the government looks at it. And all this was planned in this as well. That this week, so the paranoia looks like, oh, you write this, everyone's a criminal. Well, yeah, everywhere I look, folks, I see criminals. I see official criminals. Because it's not I see them, it's that I've proven we have them, we know them when we see them, what they do, their deeds indeed tell us what they are. It's not an opinion. They're actually doing this stuff. It's at a distance, no one really realizes, like COVID wasn't a flood. It's all the same. All this works out to be the same deception. Same thing that you're gonna we'll maybe touch here on back over in Eastern Europe. Same, identical. And I'm serious. I get concerned. I don't even know why I get concerned, but people die around this stuff. Okay, people who are their rights to understand and live in the way they choose is taken away from them. Is what's going on in this country, United States of America, is what's going on in every rule of law and democracy country. But moving back to our little petition, where I read to you as incorrect as I just did in halteringly and tried to explain. I just can't help but explain to people. But I have three paragraphs in a petition, right at the end of the petition, which talks to a presumption that's worked against us, that courts take, that the government has sent you a notice. And therefore, when the government claims you got the notice, that means you're a bad one. You're the one that's no good. And you heard right off the bat, I'm saying there's a presumption about that that we are going to rebut here and now, before it gets going. This is what happened this last week. We found out, in fact, that a letter that was mailed, it happened to be the full moon last month, went to two places in the post office system. Hundreds of miles away and came back to the place it should have been. Sat there for 5 days and then got released in transit on the 25th. And as of last week, never got to its destination. So we took the opportunity to write a letter, into being one page, to go through and amend that petition because we have a reservation of amending. We amended that petition to now include obstruction of mail, to divert it from the sheriff's office so he didn't get timely delivery. All these are federal crimes. But we're focusing on the sheriff, and we're telling him, we just now confirmed and proved what we had shown you in a document you haven't even gotten yet, because there's federal interference with our local rights and remedy. And they're doing that to get access to our mail in order to figure it out and give them advantage. So, we just had a private courier deliver that letter to the sheriff. With this letter, with the proof of the transit that's still going on, apparently, since last month of the 25th. Proving that your mail is being interfered with. Proving that the mail system in the United States Postal Service is not worthy of all the due process they provide, that the courts have given to it. It's a whole different point. But nevertheless, it is shown to be interfering with our local power, remedies, and rights. That I don't have opinion anymore. That this is what it starts to take to get done. And even though I didn't want to write the letter, I don't like doing this. But it's an opportunity to expose the proof. Why? Because now I've got four more paragraphs in a letter that those officials likely, and they've done this before, so it's not even a guess, those officials cannot now say did not happen. They cannot diminish the truth that's in those petitions. Supposed to be taken as true in the equity concept, where the reason for this petition is also an equitable, and a relief in equity relative to the obligations of the state government to protect us. I'm not talking about the Constitution. I'm talking about their Admissions Act, their Enabling Act of the state. The reason that they could even exist in the state took on a liability to protect who the co-owner of a mine and myself are relative to a disposal of soil. And so we're dealing in a whole, when you start understanding what I've been saying, I have to wait until we do all this in order to really kind of show you point by point what it's going to take in order to show you are the one being attacked by people under color of authority who had never had the right to do so. This week, we were able to perfect that the Post Office Master General will obstruct and misdeliver your mail, intended to the sheriff, if this case could be anybody. Interestingly, the letter that we sent as a copy of that petition to the Board of Commissioners did not get obstructed. And this is going through, when it changed itself to the hub that it went to, we know that the mail gets misdirected there, when it either goes to Washington, D.C. or is important locally. It started to happen to us way back in 2012, right before our lawsuit. Lawsuit for JMD versus Kitsap. So what's the importance of that? Because we're talking of two officials that give everybody, the people, no credibility at all. And they sit there smug in this authority that they have been given because they're elected officials. And they're not accountable. And so we've been able to lay this week, spending quite a bit of time to do so, to lay the foundation for the problem that here we're looking at that arrest still. See, that's not done for us. The federal arrest is sitting there. That once now I have this letter, I can now point to that black-robed one promoting himself as a judge that isn't actually, for lots of reasons I won't get into. It's also in the petition. And now they can't use any of the presumptions the mail gets through to say that the government gave us notice. The number one thing you need to be able to kick out before they can move. It becomes the number one thing if you get mail to be able to refute the letter they sent you was for it being fraudulent in some way, like a minor being addressed, a uncommon mineral entryman for gold, silver, quicksilver, a valuable mineral deposit. For those people, those entrymen, they can be women too, and they can be little kids actually. They can enter in and they should be protected by a law. And that was to the good of society. That's why that whole thing was done. And they're not supposed to be interfered with. That when the agency sends us a letter, they send it under a fraudulently used rule, which is mail fraud. I don't know of anybody else that's ever looked at this, that's ever made the record for this, but we have. That is the thing I've been telling everybody here relative to this nonsense called COVID-19. And why we go after the frauds. We challenge for the fraud. And getting onto my tab, finally. So if you think there's something screwed up in this country, yeah, there is, but do you know exactly what? And that might even be a little bit strong. I don't know everything, so I don't know exactly, but I do know enough. I can write in a letter a month before it is obstructed by the postmaster charged with the duty to timely send the mail. It's the pinnacle of due process. And what a government has to do to protect that it is doing those things. And in this day and age, we're able to, in this day and age now, it's supposed to be higher justice. We can prove the mail is a fraud. They use it for fraud. They use it to vilify you. What I was able to do is I was able to say, notwithstanding the fact that we didn't get this mail delivery, when we challenged misdelivery in the recent past, they called us a terrorist. And we rebutted that by showing that they didn't have any grounds to say so, and some other things that we put in there, and they never answered. They went silent. So are anybody making these records for themselves? This is what I've been asking for the people in Canada. Are they making a record? As the war gets declared against the people, the officials are declaring war against the people of a country. People see this, but do you know how to respond to it? Or do you stand there and get run over by the horses, get run over by the police lines that are now developed as they started to declare war on you last week? I can't even talk about this stuff fast enough anymore. I'm overwhelmed. I dumped another 30 tabs that you're not going to get to, that I may not even get to, even the ones I've got. Things are happening so quickly. I'm old news almost before I say it, and some things today are actually happening. I got on and they're just moving so quick that they almost take some of the tabs I had out. I'm just going to add ideas. So let me move up into what are you listening for? David Tulis in Tennessee had a hearing before the Court of Appeals in Tennessee. I guess their middle district. And you can hear that on YouTube of all places. And if you want to hear what's gone on for what's supposed to happen forthwith, what does that mean? It means immediately. As he says in his 10-minute presentation or with the 5-minute rebuttal, immediately if not sooner. We're talking equity time. And what I'm sending you there to is you need to hear what's going on and what it has been going on, and it's just a summary of what's going on relative to what is needed to know by the population to be able to understand more properly what's going on. David Tulis gets the 10 minutes opening. The respondents is the governor's attorney and the local health official. So the health official got 10 minutes. They had to split between themselves, and then David Tulis gets to talk in rebuttal for 5 minutes. And he had to smash a bunch of stuff together, and so you're gonna have to strap into your dragster because it's gonna go. And you have to listen to the lack of authority that they're bringing on the other side. Listen to what everything he's put up, and that's not even everything. It's only the things that was able to be stated in 10 minutes. I want you to notice as you're watching that video the response of the judges. It may take a couple times watching. I found interesting when he said that there was violations of law, principles of equity and injustice. And then he asked the question whether or not the appeals court would agree. One of the judges scratched his head and then pushed himself away from his own table, his own desk, for a couple minutes. Now, I don't know what nerve got hit. I'd like to know. Maybe some of you can explain that to me. But there is something behind the scenes going on. And we don't think it's a good thing. We think it's going to continue. But you need to see what it starts to take to understand what has been going on, who's been covering up. Listen to the answer of the people that are trying to, essentially, it's an evasion of the law and duty. And understand, when you're looking at this hearing, you're looking at three judges, that are listening, where you'll hear a reference to the name Gibson. David Tulis mentions, you need to maybe track down Gibson's on Chancery. You can find an archive copy for the 1915 version. They're fairly accurate with the new ones, and they should be because of principles that are longstanding. And you need to understand and go to the words, go find and search at the archive.org book for fraud and see what a chancellor says the court's established law has said about fraud. And then go and back and read those. You have to see this black and white. So you're not thinking questions in your mind. You're as settled and secure about your knowledge as I am when I'm talking. And you need to then go back and look at those three judges listening to a case that literally the principle in equity is you could not hear and should have been disposed within moments of the paperwork filed exposing the fraud, what he did, what David Tulis did in a pro confesso motion to have the court allow an admission because the respondent didn't answer in 3 days or so to avoid the fraud show cause, how the fraud wasn't committed. Ultimately, then the respondent, the governor's attorney, which is the state, you have to understand all of what you're looking at here. The state on relation, that's through David, is defending itself against the state. If you pay attention to what's going on, you'll see an eyeful in 23-minute hearing. That judges are listening to a case that's alleged fraud that was moved to have the lower court admit was existent, that the respondents came in subsequent and admitted was going on. And I want you to go search out what a chancellor writing a book about chancery said about fraud. And when you're looking at that video that these judges so-called are listening to the hearing, you must have to come to the conclusion, that's a fraud. That's a fraud on the court. That's not fraud. That's fraud on the court. Fraud on the court is that there's evidence that there will not be justice in this case. Just by looking at the video. Just by having three judges listening to two people that have admitted to fraud. I'm trying to show you something here, folks. When we show that this has been shown, when you know by what they do that they have not produced an infectious agent, and they will admit to the fraud, and this is around the world, you do not have governments, as everybody thinks. And when you do not have, you complain about your rights, you're misplacing what those rights, who are supposed to enforce them on people that don't have an intention to do so. So there's a ton to say on this. I don't really want to say more than to, I want people to see what it's been taking, what David Tulis has been doing with his time, trying to bring forth a fraud that's upon the world, causing irreparable harms, and you're looking at a judiciary, an appellate judiciary, listening to all that, and then at the end they tell them, we'll tell you what our answer is after a while, whatever they say. We'll take it under advisement. Understand also, all the briefs are already filed. All they allow you to do is summarize your brief. What I found really kind of backwards in all that, what are you to speak to if your brief has already told them what they're supposed to hear? They don't come in and ask you questions. It's not like a Supreme Court interaction where the justices have a little bit of problem with what you produced. What's not being said in this, what you're watching and not being stated to you in this video, you can go to TN Courts. If you just go on my description, go to TN Courts, go down about a few days ago. You'll look for the name Tulis, XREL. On behalf of the state, he's coming to defend against the state's attorneys, the attorney general's attorneys. Fascinating problem. You're watching in silence on injustice. You're hearing how the governor admitted they're committing fraud and hasn't any duty to the statutes at all. It's not a normal court case. In fact, you'll hear David say it's unprecedented. What? What do you say that for? For two reasons. It's unprecedented, as we know the normal term. Legally, there's no precedent before it. No precedent that the courts can rely on. And so we adopted the position to go to the principles of equity, because that's where the jurisdiction chancery is. It's in the things not in common law, that you have no adequate remedy. That's an extraordinary remedy, because there is no remedy. And so, I don't know what more to say. You're not going to get the whole answer. You're going to hear what it's going to take for people to actually challenge the officials who have been handed by the same corruptive judiciary, the same ones that would continue to entertain fraud, where no fraud should be given the light of day or the air to breathe. Where in a jurisdiction you write a petition, it is not questioned, it's taken as true. In other words, it's true that there was a fraud. Now, that standard imposes upon the respondent, the one that receives the challenge, to answer into the court. And you'll listen as David tells you, whether you understand this fully, there were four orders issued by the chancellor judge in attempting to discuss all the frivolous ways that they were going to recognize fraud. As you'll hear David say, they give safe harbor to fraud in the state of Tennessee. It's no different any other state, is the other point. And the judges do not blink. Anyway, lots to say here. But it's on point. I commend David Tulis for this stick-to-itiveness that it's taking. Gearing up. Talk about a learning curve, folks. It's not, we are just a society that doesn't have a thought. It takes a lot of study. In actuality, if you listen behind the woodshed, you got the short course on all this stuff, because you don't have to talk about it. When you do it up front, like I've been suggesting, and for you, and that every one of these people in Canada or around the world that are being now made war against, you start addressing that as a challenge. There's questions on the Twitter, like, oh, the Charter of Rights says they can't do this and do that. That's right. That's telling you something. That they're doing it is telling you you're not facing someone who's actually in the government. They are usurpers in that office. And so talking about mandates has been so far, as I said in a Twitter, it was bait. Do you think I'm going to get response to that? No, because everyone's invested in that mandates are the proper challenge. Was it Candace Owen? I don't even know. Is it Candace Owen? That's her name. John Rappaport sends, and I send the mandates are a bait so that no one would go after that. No official around anywhere has demonstrated a non-fraudulent exigency, an infectious agent to support their police power. Not one. But thank you, Dave. You're listening. Thank you for your continued pressure on this. It's not easy. It's easy, actually. Once you see it, it's not even a question. It's how are we going to make that record? Listen very carefully what David says. We got four orders there. He's got his four orders to talk about because he tested all the errors, his best ability to test all the errors the court was doing so that the record would be made of the errors and that he wouldn't lose them. And yet you're not going to hear about that because most of it's put in the briefs. So understand that this is a demarcation, I think, and that's why I'm talking about it. We can plant this foundation of what you can watch how the injustice is working and listen to the excuses of the respondents. Listen to how they just the same old prattle coming out. And in one regard, the judges are proper not to talk, but when you're coming in and there's supposed to be a fraud that's not supposed to even be a case, I have a problem with that. Why is it a case? Why are you giving the fraudster place to talk? Now, if you may not understand it, but the writ of mandamus was not the only thing he asked for. Nobody touched that. He asked for relief in equity. That was left unsaid. There was a whole lot more to go here than what the court and the rules constrain your arguments. And I guess the point here is you got to look into all that and see that's how you're hand tied. You're tied up and you have to kind of work through that. And that's why you'll hear David do a great job. Rapid fire addressment, hardly a break between the sentences to get everything in the time that needed it so that at least you know and I know, and now David knows, and we have a record of it, that the judges heard it. It's not going to be missed by some print somewhere that glazes somebody's eyes over. So maybe I'll stop right there. The why? What's part of the irreparable harm? We look at it. This was somewhat of a joke to me. I laughed a bit when I saw it. But when you see that it's not a joke, it's really not an Onion article or something. This is the ramifications of when they don't do things correctly. 59-year-old hyper-vaccinated corona hystericist, I guess is all the action. Hystericist driven insane by unvaccinated husband. Every day brings a new absurdity from Germany's dumbest newspaper, the Süddeutsche Zeitung. Today we find this piece about some lunatic 59-year-old woman who left her husband of 23 years because he subscribes to the various, quote, conspiracy theories, close quote, and does not take corona seriously enough and refuses to be vaccinated. It is, in a way, you just see the whole problem. The vaccines don't work. The people who take them don't believe it. The masks don't work. Someone who says that that's not the case won't get them because then they also have harms. They don't want to see it. But even though the vaccine's supposed to stop the problem, it doesn't stop people that are fearful. And so this is not really so funny. It is insane. It's ludicrous. But this is what happens to people. In particular, in Germany, I find interesting, where we may have seen that with why a whole population of people could be motivated to do what ends up being World War II. But I'm not placing blame here because there's too much untold history. But look at what happens. Look how easy it was. I didn't do it, Vince. How easy it was to get people to get into a mindset that they will fracture their own families. The vaccines, the masks wouldn't protect her. They wouldn't protect her it would be an obvious problem to me. There's no connection between cause and effect. And part of that is because there was no actual cause ever stated. It was assumed. And then it was the propaganda perpetrated the fear. And what this leads to on, going on, in a way, moving into what Hitler was able to do to mobilize his country. And he was able to end what we're heading into relative to looking at the Weimar Republic. So don't underestimate what has to happen in order to fix things. We certainly don't need to go killing a bunch of people to do it, though. That's the other thing. And we don't need a lot of outside influence. And now I'm talking about even your government becomes, the officials in your government become the outside fraudulent influence. Demonstrably so on your part. As I said, the demonstrations in the convoy ought to be that there was no demonstration of an infectious agent that causes this whole problem. Because where this goes when you don't stop the core of the authority is what happened right after I got off the broadcast. I'm telling you it was going there. I told a couple people in email, the war is on. It's just a matter of getting it declared. Here we had, it wasn't even a week and a day later, a day after I made the comment. And this is old news to people. I almost wonder why people, it's like water under the bridge. We're not talking about it no more. Let's talk about mandates some more. Canada's Trudeau invokes emergency powers to stop protests. The way it comes down, if you look at, you know them by what they do, folks, indeed by their deed. You know them when you see them. They went right after the infrastructure, the private infrastructure. Okay? Of the convoy people. You heard it. You don't understand, I don't think people appreciate how close they're following the narrative of war. They're just going after the finances. Yeah, that's what they do. They go right after your finances. They go about everything that's going to get you to live. All after your necessities. And I want to start, before I get there, start telegraphing what's happening over in the Far East. The saboteurs are going in and taking out the civilian power and water and all that stuff. Taking it out. Make it miserable for everybody. They're not supposed to be involved in a war. And this is there's a whole other thing going on. But they're reflecting the Middle East, the Eastern Europe, as I told you, is what's happening in Canada. Trudeau, they call it an emergency power. That's police power. That's also a declaration of war relative to how he's invoked this. And they've gone right after your finances. And now you're going to find out as they hunt you down. You can't even retreat. You will be hunted down. Now, you look through this. What you're not seeing the devastation of a bomb going off. You're watching the devastation of a false authority going off in the West. The government, because it's not being called out for its failure to stop. In Canada, it's kind of hard for me to discuss because I don't know about the protections, but the rule of law and democracy says you've got protective branches of government there. One's not supposed to intrude on the other. That the parliament or whatever you have up there, the lawmakers are now agreeing and wanting to agree to these emergency acts that came on the financial side. Not challenge that Trudeau has properly invoked the police power he's wielding. And Canada, financial aspects of the emergency orders that he did are wanted to be made permanent by the lawmakers. And that doesn't speak any different than what happened in the PATI or OT Act, where they went right after everybody, made everybody presumptive misdemeanants and enemy combatants. And that's when I lost the bank account I had. Just to let you know how that worked. I think it was Section 526 or something in that act. If you didn't register, finally you didn't identify yourself, you couldn't have finances. Now, if you do, they take them away and they track you down. Just like I said they would. Everything you tie into the system becomes the leash that they use to follow down and they get a hold of you. Some people say, I don't care. Yeah, well, why not? How about if you don't care, but you don't care with a purpose more than I don't care? So this whole thing was peaceful until the cops show up and then violence appears. It's war. The deed of the violence shows you what's going on. Not even the protesters can retreat home now from Ottawa. You'll be hunted down and punished. What kind of country is that? You want to talk about you have charter rights and all this other stuff. And not a peep about the fact, wait a minute, your orders are based on, your emergency is based on a fraudulent purpose that was based on a fraudulent purpose. See, fraud begats fraud. You'll read that in that Gibson's on Chancery too. You need to understand this stuff. You need to see the black and white so you don't think the guy behind the woodshed is just spouting opinion. These are settled and established principles, long-standing principles, clearly established, that are absolutely ignored by the so-called judiciary, by the so-called executive branch, by the so-called lawmakers. The only people that are going to enforce this are the people themselves, by sticking it back in their face that they haven't done the first thing correct to enjoy the power that they wield. And again, I look at this whole thing in part of me is applauding. I told you that last. I'm happy people are thinking that they're at least outdoing it. They're thinking they're defending themselves. But you really got to step back and think about it. Even there, you don't get lost in the fog of war, so to speak, because it is a war. And you don't understand that. That fog you don't understand is the fog of war for you. And to me, looking at this thing and how this thing's rolled out, and I told you it would, it wasn't that hard. We were already there. They just didn't make it obvious. Come on. It's amazing to me. I look at all the so-called celebrities out there that are telling people stuff. They don't even talk about all this. Everybody talks about everything they think they're being denied, and they don't talk about what they were denied up front, which was a lawful government following objective basis. That's in the black and white. So why does this continue to me, maybe not nobody else, to sound like this is like a trucker spring coup operation? Why is the narrative stuck on mandates when the correct challenge should be the lack of demonstrating of the infectious cause before any official can make an order or do anything? The lack of that demonstration of which makes those orders null and void, and the acts of the officials are treasonous. It's one thing to say, oh, you're acting in treason. It's another to be able to prove it. I've been advocating people just prove it. It's a simple statement. Give yourself some foundation. Part of this is, as I said last week, one thing is just park. They want you park, but park everywhere. You're stopped anyway. They locked you up, locked down. It doesn't matter. You know how to do that. Just park everywhere. The point is interfere with the commerce. The commerce stops. It's their whole purpose underlying this whole thing anyway. But shut it all down everywhere. Just start stopping the commerce to move. You get to Jefferson Mining District, you see the mule, old Gov, on its haunches. And the miner trying to tug him along. Old Gov's not doing what it's supposed to do. Well, you become old Gov. You become the old people that have a right to not be drugged by the leash. If that was government, just flip it around. Just sit down. Everywhere. Okay. I said that last week. Apparently it's kind of catching that on a little bit. But the point is that's not the end's answer. It takes more to stop this war against you. A lot more. And yet it's not that hard. So what you're seeing now is there's no obscurity over the war being declared over the people. And because the officials are committing the fraud and using the power they haven't earned by demonstrating infectious agent of their cause, that's your in. That's how you get to expose your cause is not one of mandates. It's one of extinguishing fraud and maladministration where they have not identified an infectious agent and they cannot. And then they did it government, they did it countrywide upon a subject matter that only allows a limited approach to those that are causing that infection. So here the mandates were the bait. This is what I put in a Twitter. And thank you to the one, someone I don't even know that I did get it. They did get it. I know my Twitter went out there. They put a heart on it. Didn't retweet it, but we got a little bit of a point on this. Someone noticed it, that the mandates were the bait. As I said before, I'm going to repeat it again, it's so important. So people wouldn't focus on the fact that no official anywhere in the world can support their emergency. The use of police power is what that is. In demonstrating that non-fraudulent cause, the infectious agent that's required here. required in every communicable disease law. Why is that so hard to not be on the lips of everyone? Why isn't it on the lips of everyone? Why isn't it in the tweets of everyone, on minds, or anywhere? Why isn't that on the lips of anyone else besides myself? Well, and David Tullis. You'll hear it. He didn't mention police power. That's not a fatal flaw. It's in the brief. But I would like to have heard the police power being mentioned by term, because it talks, that's what the demonstrating the non-fraudulent cause is all about. Not this idea of a communicable disease, which seems to, it's an easy way to obscure some things. But anyway, notwithstanding, it was in the briefs. And then this becomes how you also, there's a tactic you can use when it's not being mentioned and the second court doesn't get it right. You get to jump with both feet right on that point, because that's what you're actually talking about here. So you aren't protesting the mandates. You are protesting the fraud committed by the officials irreparably harming the whole of society. Okay? Can we get that word out? You're not protesting the mandates. You're protesting the fraud. And that now does allow you to be protected underneath your charters, because you now challenge the official standing to be able to make an order. It flips the burden. And your charter says you can protest that. And now you have to link it, because now you have one more fraud. You link his current emergency, which might actually have some legs when it's divorced from the origination. You now connect that first, that second one up, the declaring of war on the people of the country, to that first fraud. It's how he is able to do this. It's how the cops think they have the right to stand there. Until someone, they, to demonstrate the non-fraudulent agencies, their orders are null and void. If you go to Gibson's on Chancery, read it and find out about what equity says. What's the status quo in an injunction is not their crimes. It's what they were supposed, the burden they had, they failed. And the status quo, that burden is unfulfilled. And the status quo before that, that's supposed to be kept, is your being free from whatever, molestation, a war declared against you, economic harms, all that. Their orders are null and void. And there's no emergency order that is valid to stop the challenge to the official fraud. Everyone knows how to quote these things. They don't know to execute on them. So you aren't protesting the mandates. Please listen to this. I know it's exciting. Oh, you stand. Even the vaccinated can protect the unvaccinated for their choice. That's not the fraud. The sad part is the vaccinated were duped. And then the other part is nobody, if there is something there, nobody knows what it is. You're not protesting the mandates, but official misconduct and fraud. And that's causing a man-made disaster. Can you have that little part of that last bit of that I just said on the end of every sentence you say that you're standing there to challenge? Forget the protest. You're challenging the official misconduct and fraud causing a man-made disaster where no official has demonstrated the cause for their police power. None. If we don't get this correct, folks, we're in for a long, long, cold, dark winter. I don't care when it, if it becomes August, if it becomes July, I don't care. It's going to be a cold, dark winter. And every arrest they make and every truck they tow, it's justified. I don't know. I don't even know really more to say. Why is there no accidental embrace of what I'm saying? Leads me to believe we have a real mental problem and a lot of people that don't quite understand how to think anymore. And I'm not I'm not judging you. This is a condition. And I don't know if prior vaccination, so-called, they haven't done that to us. The food, we weren't really diligent. And even those of us that are, we see, you can't escape the food. that they've been adulterating, that they've been making chimeric. None of that's been tested. So I don't know where the cause is. I'm not putting my finger on anyone as causing the problem. I'm saying we have to rise above our own frailties, and we have to do much better. And one of the things I've noticed to do better is to call out that fraud. You can't expect the system to say yes. Remember, the Bar Association, the attorneys say, deny everything. I've sent two Twitters to two people. One's at QC, and one was in an attorney group. Oh, we're showing the truckers' rights. Neither of which stood up, and neither got back to me to say why they saw the light and would challenge, or why I was wrong. So, moving on, Canadian truckers are now facing this emergency. That's war. When you watch what they're doing, it's war on his own country. It's treason. Now, how do you get at that? You just can't say he's committing treason. You have to show how he did what he did and explain where the black and white was that told him that before, and the common law standard for police power, what it takes, and that he violated every bit of it. Now you have your rights. Canada announces plans to freeze Freedom Convoy's protesters' bank accounts. People are saying, well, I don't care, I've got a bank account anyway. Okay, that's one of the attitudes you can take. But that's attacking your financial infrastructure for you privately. And I want you to consider what's going on in the world relative to sanctions on Russia, what the United States does with its power to control someone's purse, and what it takes for those countries, like if they were like you, people, what it takes for them to be able to weather that attack. And I have a link that happened last week, again, after the broadcast, where they're telling you exactly the point that they're regulating, and this is another thing, again, it brings on, I told you what was going to happen. People were, I don't know, you know, didn't think I was correct, and that's fair enough. We all have our opinions. But ultimately, at some point, you have to look at the history of things after you now passed it, and you have to start recognizing some truths. That what came out right after the broadcast was that on this emergency order was that Canada would now be regulating crowdfunding platforms and cryptocurrency under the Terrorist Financing Act. Just like I said they would. They treat these things as assets. Like I told you, you got to get that right. That's what the SEC got involved in real quick. And I said, that's going to be a problem for y'all, folks. They went right after your cryptocurrency. They're putting it under a Terrorist Financing Act. If you don't see the writing on the wall, I did. I told you. Here it is. They declared it. It's not hidden anymore what they're after. Anybody in crypto, you're going to be a terrorist. You don't go to, like, they're, you protest the government, they don't like it, they cut you off, you're going to be a terrorist. And it's because everybody focusing on mandates. That's exactly what I would expect some saboteur to advance, to focus everybody on the wrong thing and not have people focus on the right thing. And it seems to me when you understand they did a lie to you, not that they all had a determination to make this and not that, but that they had no authority over at all, and they were making fraud. It's lies. It's deception. And that was covering for a crime against you. I don't think people would be able to sit back on that generally. No, they might, because we're the people, I suppose. And these usurpers have counted on that. And they've been right so far, to my consternation. Part of me is terrified. Doesn't mean we stop. Just like didn't mean I stopped right because they started attacking our territory out in the forest. They started invading our territory. We did what it took. We appealed to the law. We're appealing to the law. We're going to make sure it stands for something, at least in the witness of everybody who then, if it doesn't, everyone sees that. What can I do? What more can I do? What more can you do? If you're not doing that, then you're not establishing the basis. Right after the emergency order, and I think this was for a notice to everybody. Now let's move this a little bit broader. Right after that emergency order and the finances will be attacked, Canada's major banks go offline in a mysterious hours-long outage. Everybody got hit. I don't know what happened there. I don't know how it happened. They're telling you Everybody's finances are able to be turned off like a switch, as I've been telling your phones are helping you out to do while you engage all this, and don't say a thing about it. They said that they can go after the protesters. Within hours after that, everybody can get hit. Everybody's financial switch can be flipped. How is that, folks, if they don't already have this place wired? Canadian truckers say warnings won't scare away freedom convoy. Okay, go ahead and stand up that way. I honor the fact that you're thinking that that's noble. The freedom convoy is not the answer. It is a message. Now you have to start to address what the answer is. It's not a scare tactic when it's fraud. If you say it's a scare tactic, you give them authority to say the scare tactic. You claim overstepping, as this article does, that's your opinion. They're working under an emergency, which you have no authority to have an opinion in. What does my petition say to the sheriff? The agency that is claiming to have authority doesn't have jurisdiction to have an opinion. For fraud. If you think that this story is any different between what we're suffering in the forest, what I see Canada going through, the whole world going through, but what we now see going on as the war drums, so-called, are being beat in the Eastern Europe. Almost identical, folks. Does anybody else see this? And the answers are pretty clearly straight up about how we address this en masse. My problem also, I see this on reading this article, those who are willing to give their life for the cause need much more than being threatened with arrest in fines and losing insurance. Would you please move it from giving your life where it's not necessary? How about you don't put your line in the sand at your life? Why don't you put it over there at the political existence of the official who has committed fraud and continues to commit fraud and then capitalizes and leverages that fraud to actually call you the terrorist? Think about that tactic. That's what you're speaking to. Don't put your life on the line. It sounds noble. Sounds like you're the martyr. Not from behind the woodshed, it doesn't. Ottawa police arrest dozens of protesters after that was stated. They don't care. And you don't care, and they win. This is the whole point. And it happened to be here, two organizers of the Freedom Convoy, along with a dozen others, have been arrested in downtown Ottawa as authorities took their first major step in the end of demonstrations that have stretched for 3 weeks at the Kanukistan's capital. Tamara Litch and Chris Barber, two of the most vocal organizers of the protests, were led away in handcuffs. Here's the problem. It's organizers. I told you, don't be an organizer. Actually, some people don't even recognize who these people were. I didn't. I didn't even know that. But I learned after, and then my observation here is those two people needed to be listened to behind the woodshed on how to do their collateral attack against this official. These officials that are doing this. They need to have that habeas corpus and do an injunction against the fraud that's been imposed that allows them to do that. If you're considered a vocal organizer, they target you. That's taking out your general, so-called. So you just look at the story, you can see what they're doing. They're coming right after the people that they think are the people who have the power to persuade others, the influencers. Stop being an influencer for others. Do it for yourself, not because you're just such the influencer, because you see the crime against you and you're going to attempt to arrest it. And you don't have to necessarily get yourself in jeopardy to do that. They didn't care. Oh, you can stand up against them. We got notice. We're not going anywhere. They can come and take my stuff. I got nothing anyway. And they did. And they're justified as long as you didn't do the proper notice. Now we got two people that are in criminal charges. The public generally will look at that and they'd say they deserved what they got. Inside, they should be doing their habeas and or doing a collateral attack through equity to show the fraud of those charges because there was no official lawful demonstration of an exigency. And it was the fraud that continues that the official was required to do before they acted at all. That burden flips immediately, and if it doesn't, you got thousands of people watching how your judiciary is the very same one that sits there in Tennessee Again, TN Courts, all together one word on YouTube, will get you to that account. You can go down about five or six videos now, and you can watch that for yourself. Why? How is the judiciary between two countries functioning the same, in the same corruption, causing itself fraud upon the court, causing itself to agree that there was an emergency where it doesn't even have the power to declare that? What did that court use to declare to determine the infectious agent if it did have the power to declare an emergency? That wasn't asked inside that appeal, because you're only talking about why the lower court's decision orders are incorrect. That's all you get to speak to. And then only on what you objected to, which is why you hear David Tulis say, there's four orders here. We were testing, we were challenging all the errors, making sure we got it done, because the first time the order went through, it was a very prejudicial order, did not highlight all the errors. And we get this moving on, you don't think that this is, you just think, oh, this is just police work. No, Warmington police horses trampled demonstrators in Freedom Convoy protests in Ottawa. They made a defensive line, the horses are in the back, they finally trot the horses in between the line, and they start trampling people. Well, luckily, these horses are very well trained, and I don't know that people got actually stomped on. Maybe a toe or two, I would guess. Horses are kind of like that. They're vulnerable, too, and they know it. They attempt to watch out, but they did get run people over because they're big animals. And they ran a lady over that was in a walker. And so this is the police showing the world that they're doing police work, trampling people over, which is horrendous to anybody that has a sense of justice in them, but will be given has been given license by the authority that continues it. Because those protests are doing nothing more than bringing the validity of the war, the emergency, perpetually now, and permanently, you hear, upon the people. So they had no trouble bringing out the horses. When you look at it, there was no purpose to bring those horses out. Again, the violence started when the government got involved. The government did not avoid violence by demonstrating a non-fraudulent exigency. And I think if that was to be done, we would have never got to the mandates unless they did. And all those people would not be there, because there would have been no mandates. They would have been dealing with the flu, as far as I can tell. I have no evidence to the contrary at this point. And then we see the exception to upon this works, and this was an interesting discussion I had, Trudeau's prohibition on protests exempts refugees, immigrants, and ethnic minorities. Now, there's a special law they went through, and there's certain statuses that go on. It seems to me, though, that if you look at those statuses, you find out that the non-resident is not yet subject to the government, and therefore they're not considered subject to the police power. Should be a very interesting observation for people if you start reading between the lines of all this. And it's something I've talked to you for years and decades about, a decade or so and more, about for a long time, and I talk about it periodically and just throw it out there so it's not a silver bullet. And I tell you what to go look for and what to avoid. And those people, those statuses, are of that class. They call it a political class. Now, what I found interesting, when you go look very carefully about one of the exclusions at the near end of the article as a replication of the bill, had to do with talking about people important through a national. It's in the national interest. Let me see if I can read this down in F. You go read this article. You get the link. It's over at Summit News. A person, the emergency does not affect a person or any person in a class of persons whose presence in Canada is determined by the Minister of Citizenship and Immigration or the Minister of Public Safety and Emergency Preparedness. Can you say DHS? Can you say FEMA? Emergency Preparedness is in the national interest. Can those folks in Canada claim to be people in the national interest? Can the people claim to be in the national interest to be protected? Can you do that much for yourself underneath this act called for immigration and refugee protections? Is the Minister of Public Safety and Health Emergency Preparedness saying that the people are not a national interest? Is your corollary question. All right, I paused a long time there. I hope your wheels are turning there in Canada. You need some firepower coming in the black and white to start pressing against it. Start the fraud. Start with the treason that declares by this act that the people themselves are not in the national interest. Each one of you, so-called protesters, you're not protesting, you're challenging the fraud. Their failure to demonstrate a non-fraudulent exigency for either emergency. The second one predicated on the first one. But the people will come because they're excited, as we find. And thank you for out there to do it, but would you please protect yourself, folks, if you're going to do all this. Quebec, hundreds of protesters to join trucker convoy with more on the way. This is the same problem. You just flood the area, cause to give the government more power because you're supporting now a terrorist cause that's been determined. The parliament's agreeing with it. The financial restrictions of all coming on are going to be permanent. If you didn't hear of the permanent war against all the people. But no, people are going to come and support the convoy instead of saying, that's enough. Convoy aside, you're now in treason. And here's how. And then maybe have a 3x5 note paper with some of the comments I've made here in the past hour about why that is. It's really not that much. Yeah, I talk a lot. Take 2 hours. I could talk a lot more. First 20 minutes wasn't even on this. But you put a 3x5 card on what I tell you. Put this down. Challenge it this way. And you start leading with that. And you understand the underlying jurisdiction and the principles that play on that. That it's supposed to reflect. And then you know the rules of engagement. And then you know anybody that doesn't follow those principles is one of them. Is one of the treason, the people in treason. And you don't just call them out. You identify first that they're in that, and then you call them out. And that is the maladministration. That is the failure to create the protection that the people deserve. Is it in the authority of the Minister of Citizenship and Immigration or the Minister of Public Safety and Emergency Preparedness to not think that the people are a national interest? And the article doesn't talk about this. I happen to see it. Again, I see black and white. I read through it. I extract stuff that people don't even think about. I don't know how I do this. I'm telling you that's a thing you need to assert. Challenge that minister. Oh, that's a little bit of a waste of time. That would be an assertion I would put in on the challenge of the fraud, that this is the ludicrous, the criminal consequence of not declaring that infectious agent, not declaring the cause, that the minister would think the people are not in the national interest, is how I would present that. But you can send a letter saying, are you declaring that the people are not in the national interest? Not worthy of this exemption? No, you don't do that. You come and you help aid the convoy. You protest. Instead of challenge the validity of the authority that's declared war on you. New article here, Leo Holman. I've been referring to his work quite a bit here in the last year or so. What Americans and all Westerners should learn in Kanukistan's digital crackdown on freedom. Focuses back on what's going on. When they went to that financial terror in crypto, that was where they're moving forward. That's where they're moving into, get you on those phones. That's how they're tracking you down through your so-called residency. I'll just give you a little clue there and talk to you about how they get back through to you. You're using that system. It gives them the leash you have on you to track back to get you. you need to cut all those leashes. You got nothing anyway. You say you got nothing to lose. Yeah, yeah. How about cut the rest of that? And then now look at that again. See how close it is. How close can they get to you? At that point, there's no proof that you're nothing other than maybe an immigrant, isn't it? If you understood why I bring up that story. Why are those statuses exempt? And then I found a little interesting, what I thought was interesting. They're supposed to be working in the national interest, and essentially by calling the people who are challenging the fraud for maladministration and treason not in the public interest, the national interest, that is an interesting problem for me. That's why. But Leo Holman goes through and discusses with us conditions in Kanukistan, and he brings up the Canadian Civil Liberties Association. Notice it doesn't say civil rights, but Civil Liberties Association has condemned Trudeau for invoking the Emergency Act, claiming in a tweet that the Canadian federal government, quote, has not met the threshold necessary to do so. Can you hear the smile on my face here, folks, when I read that? Now, you tell me. I'm not going to read anymore. You read it. They give a tweet. This may be the group I sent back and said, so why didn't you go after the fraud? Why didn't you attack them with the police power that they failed to meet? When you now know, and I now know you know, there has to be a threshold met that's necessary. That's the same threshold, folks, I'm asking you all to stuff in their face to be met underneath the communicable disease law or for an emergency declared that denounces that it's communicable disease and just says, I have the power, then you get to come and say, upon what? Because now we see the Canadian Civil Liberties Association understands there is a threshold to meet when they wield police power. Why has it taken all this time to agree with the guy behind the woodshed that by accident we finally hear that's the case that you're supposed to be? That's the challenge you're supposed to make. Not just talk about it. Where are they not going in to challenge just on that point? Not make it a question on the second emergency. Where were they the first emergency, since we now know they knew? They knew a threshold was necessary. Have you heard any different behind the woodshed here, folks? Have you heard any different on how you developed that for yourself? Is all I've been telling you what, if you needed other authority, in Kanukistan, Civil Liberties Association is condemning Trudeau for invoking an emergency power because he hasn't met the threshold. Wow. Wow. Where are we, folks? We should have said that. Well, I was. David Tulis did, officially, in his lawsuit. We saw the system maladminister justice. We see it. How many more clues do we need? These attorneys aren't helping us. But they know. See, if they attack him now, they're attacking one in an emergency he can plausibly protect, aren't they? Where were they on the first one? Because they weren't there, I've been telling you, you had to be there. You still need to be there. It's not over. This thing's on. This thing is on. I'm kind of holding my breath. I don't really know more to say, what to say on it. I'm holding my breath. As even in the news, they take all these rigs and stuff, they take them, they're going to sell them off like they're properly seized. Not a challenge one. And I haven't heard anybody that understands the challenge, and you get an attorney involved, then you don't get justice. They do the wrong argument. As you've been hearing me tell you and expose and prove all these years. That is, if we ever can get the petition out that I wrote, it spans back to 2009 or 2010. The same method of destruction of people's rights. And yet the law still says is a witness to that crime. And that's what's kind of interesting. And that's, I guess, why I even talk. It's still there. It's just people have to get it. And then people have to get it in numbers because these people are not going to let, they're not taking their boot off your head, their horse's hoof off your back, and they're not going to take your hand off, their hand off your throat or the leash out of the ring in your nose. You have to do all that. First of all, don't get underneath foot of a horse. I mean, you got to be careful. The horses are only doing what they're told. Just like those monkey cops. You'll see a video eventually. You probably come along hugging a guy. People are hugging the cops. A guy hugs back. And then a big old brute in the back says, oh, you can't do that. So he can't. Just a monkey. Just a Muppet. Truckers, a convoy, convoy to DC 2022. America is next. This is out of the New American. This is where I start to wonder, what is the PSYOP? America's next. What is America next for? All the misguided protesting, as I'm explaining to you, while the emergencies are declared and the state of emergencies and war is declared on the people, and the people just are oblivious to it, other than, oh, they're getting their rights violated. America is next. I found that fascinating. Just in the title, a next for what? Sounded like a butter commercial. Can't believe it's not butter. America's next for what? Convoy DC 2020. How come none of you folks are going to stay in your states and get the letters I've been telling you to do and charge locally where the officials are having the duty that they've done their own fraud, their own treason? Do what you have to, but do that too. Make a showing, but do what you need to first. Set your foundation to do what you're doing. Following the lead of their Canadian freedom-loving colleagues, boy, oh boy, if I start looking at this as a trucker's spring coup psyop, boy, wouldn't I write that first sentence. American truckers are planning to form a nationwide chain of semi-trucks and other vehicles to protest the COVID-19 authoritarian policies. That's the wrong argument. The policies are because you've allowed them to determine they had the power to have the authoritarian policies, which you don't have a power to stop. Anyway, go ahead and travel. Great. Why not just park your trucks? Just stop the commerce. You talk about the supply chain. They already broke it. Just break it. But go do your filings and your notices to the local officials and stand by yourselves without a leader and do it on your own in mutual defense of yourself. Don't become America's next for the declaration of war on its people in a bad position. And if you're half listening to me, I suppose you're saying down with the convoy. I'm saying that's what motivates people. Fine, let it do that, but that's not going to stop this. They focus you on a bunch of idle work. I'm asking us to not do that. And this title, just from the American, just fascinated me. American is next. To what? Look and see what's going on. To what? And you're following in the same footsteps. They say you're going to follow the Canadian freedom-loving colleagues. Freedom-loving colleagues are not free people. U.S. Trucker Convoy aims to represent all Americans impacted by COVID mandates. Well, I'm tossed on that. COVID, coronavirus, mandates? Is that all they were? They have no proper lawful authority to be on a common cold mandate. But that's the wrong thing. It's by the COVID mandates, not the fraud. That's not representing me. That doesn't represent anybody that listens to what I'm saying and looked at the law and finds out that that's exactly the problem. They're not being represented either. It's not representing a challenge to the officials that they failed miserably to follow the law. And so that cannot be actually representing Americans impacted by this fraud. But we can read it from Fox News, this PSYOP it seems to be running. And good-natured people, I do not challenge or do not question the integrity of the people that are standing up for their freedom. But that's not the point. The point is we can be the bright, shiny thing that looks tasty is the thing we hit instead of the thing not doing that, because then that would prove that we're just a school of fish. And now we got a brain in our head and we figured out, oh, that's a shiny thing. Wait a minute, I'm not supposed to even be in the water. What am I doing here? Let's climb out and go find the guy who's trying to hook me. Why? What's happening? What's America's next? What's going on? Biden extends a state of emergency in U.S. amid ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Now, they didn't say COVID here, did they? Not like the other story. They didn't say COVID mandates. No, they talked about COVID-19 pandemic. Something that doesn't exist actually legally, the United States government has no control over, because, as we understand, the actual authority for health regulation is in every state, and all the due process is there, all the things that David Tulis was sued on that didn't happen, is there to do, that they admit they will commit fraud and committed fraud upon and have no duty to. They haven't any duty to these laws. while they impose and irreparably harm you. Biden extends state of emergency. What is next for America? Is an extended war against the people of America. And yet, everyone's going to look at this freedom-loving colleagues as a good thing. It's walking into the trap, folks. What's in the future of America? Biden extends state of emergency. I don't need to read more. It's not stopping. They don't intend it to stop. They'll be picking up all the same conditions, the same tricks, the same things, because no one and no voice is coming out, and I mean a big voice, is coming out to say, whoa, 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 you misstepped big time here, big time. Treason-like, big time. And then you got all these other things you can throw out on them, like maybe your shot that you ill-advisedly took is now conditioning your continued discussion and your authority. Here's evidence of it. You wouldn't do that if you were not either a criminal intending on committing treason, a usurper committing war against the people of the United States, which is not a national interest, or you were medically affected by the very thing you told everyone else to do, only one third of which didn't. Maybe the last bit to be able to say, whoa, how many of those people that are on the convoy said that they got the vaccine that are going with because they're feeling good about protecting other people, which they should be, but we don't know that they're not being affected in their thoughts, that they become just a mass of people that really aren't going further, and they haven't gone further. So what's in store for America? Biden extends a state of emergency. I don't see these stories came run right after the other. I go, wow, look at the PSYOP going on. That's what I feel. It's a PSYOP. Does it mean that I'm judging unfairly the participants? No, not at all. People are good people, but they're easily misguided. And I've said it twice now, Vince, but we're very easily taken into our own confidence, as if that means something, in a place that when you're dealing with an oppressor, it means nothing to them. As we see another story moving a little bit translated over, what they intend, what's the next for America that the convoys can stop? FDA executive officer in a hidden camera reveals future COVID policy, not COVID-19 pandemic, but FDA COVID policy, quote, Biden wants to inoculate as many people as possible, have to get an annual shot. This is a pretty interesting statement. This guy has been denounced by the FDA, is not working there, but sounded pretty clear to me that the guy has some knowledge inside about the fact that they're coming after your little ones, that this is all about revenue on top of it, that they're not coming up and pushing the mandate so that they rile you up. He says rile. I said they don't want to rile the natives. I've said this forever. He uses that word. All right? So this is the words of an occupier sitting in administration of occupation, not law. What do you expect? You think you have rights before people that are usurpers and don't care about your law? No. I don't know what the convoy is talking about at some point. Notwithstanding, I applaud that their energy to be out there and do it. Absolutely, you can do that. But let's work on something that's more foundational and understand you're in a war no different than the people in the Eastern Europe right now, having to defend themselves because governments were usurped and they said no, and that usurped government then comes and attacks them. The toddlers are on the hook here. They're not going to... There's a thing regarding the emergency authorizations and getting that forward. That's what they want to do. They want to get everybody involved. There's money incentive to Pfizer and drug companies to promote the additional vaccines, this guy says, this guy Cole, in the financial incentives of pharmaceutical companies. It's a reoccurring fountain of revenue. I told you this is a commerce nation. That's what their whole constitutional power is. It might not be that much initially, but it'll be reoccurring. If they can get every person required at an annual vaccine, that is a reoccurring return of money going into their company. What did I tell you this was about? Many, many months ago. Here we have the evidence, and I think this is the Project Veritas, and thank you to what they do to get these statements out. to inform us is exactly how we see it. He knows them when you see them. This is not a question. Why we keep making it a question is really irritating me a little bit, I guess. But it's a sadness because we really focus on the wrong thing. We get ourselves to focus on the, let's say we focus on where we're bleeding than the guy that's going to whack us again with a knife. So the FDA's response to this official statement is the person purported in the video does not work on the vaccine matters and does not represent the views of the FDA. It may not have to represent the views, but take it for what it's worth. It is describing what we've been experiencing. It is predicted by the own conversations in the paperwork. I've talked about it myself. See, I didn't need this guy to tell me this stuff. He just comes in and he proves it to me. These COVID shots are not probable, they're certain. When he says they extended the emergency with no definite date of ending, you're no longer in an emergency. That should have been your first clue. Okay, so the writing's on the wall on this, on top of the fact that we're finding out, it was just what went through, I think it's JMA, the Journal of Medical, whatever. Maybe Redneck Dennis can help me on the names of these things. mRNA vaccines elevate your myocarditis risk by 133 times. That's what they want for you? This is what I told you, why they want this for you. And how is it doing that? If it's just a simple little viral thing, which it's not. I told you it's a chemical weapon. It's a novel man-made chemical weapon. Well, how do I know that? The patents say it. The patents tell me that. And there's a guy, whether the FDA wants to say it works for them or not, and I think it was actually an agency outside of that did some checking on this. I don't know exactly how that worked out so they could say that anyway. But you look at what he says versus what's going on. An emergency without an end is not an emergency, folks. A presumptive emergency doesn't exist. And we've, as a school of fish, we've eaten all that bait. And now we talk about mandates. Instead of saying, whoa, wait a minute. You can't have a presumptive emergency, and you can't have an emergency that has no end date. That's a plan. That's a usurpation and a plan for a takedown. Okay? Are we clear on all that? Are we getting that? And so what hits the news right now for all those in UK and who cares? Well, you're in Canada, Kanukistan, maybe in Australia. The Queen Elizabeth II test positive for flu-like symptoms. Right? COVID. COVID-19, flu-like symptoms. You get tested positive with a test that tested, designed to test positive. So, big whoop, folks. This is what's coming down. Oh, the Queen's now on near death. And I've been wondering why her name's been popping up. Like this one, Kanye West. Who is this guy? Why is he in my feed? The Queen. Okay, sorry you got a cold. And I'm sorry you're old and it might hurt you. But you have the flu-like symptoms. You've tested, big whoop. Take NyQuil, call someone in the morning. COVID-19 means symptoms, folks. If you get this news, it comes through. Right? So it's not that hard to figure out what they're telling us. And I move into now, on this thing that's going on to show the money changing hand behind the scenes. We're back to Dr. David Martin. On a video on BitChute, he exposes Trudeau's illegal monopoly and Australian government corruption as he's tying the crown together with all this money behind the scenes and why you're seeing what's coming out. Again, the bribe, the inside, the money exchanging hands. This has not been all about law at all. It's not been about government, right? It's about how long will the people continue to focus on the things that are not going to help them and allow us to keep moving and keep this thing going. And maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say I'm having lots of people wondering, because we're not quite that out of it and crazy. I would call it kind of crazy, but it's not outside of my perception in the world that these people exist, that we're asking, why aren't there more tall oaks and short ropes? Even the odds of that not happening and all the people that are having their families destroyed when they start to see the truth of this, why don't we see any of that? And I have a suspicion we're looking at evil itself is protected. And yet, until we get the mass that won't accept, that actually knows how not to consent, not put yourself as fodder on the line of war, but actually become a guerrilla tactic within coming at the system from all different places. They can't find a leader in it. Till we figure that one out, we're gonna see some people getting hurt, and there's a prophet going on behind the backside of this, the other backside, hitting the behind. And Dr. David Martin may have some more information on that. And I appreciate the evidence this guy is, but I told you, the outcome of this thing going through technocracy and fulfilling itself in the electronic side and digital side will play into a product he invented. And I've talked to you about that through Switzerland and their health policies. And so I've got a question what that might do. On one hand, I can't appreciate him more. On the other hand, I look and I say, well, everything I studied on my own without knowing about him, he proved. So I'm confirmed in what my studies were. And the things outside of that are the things that I knew to study to tell you what to do about some of that. Oh, and thank you, Cowboy Tech. I got your email. Just haven't had a chance just to make a quick comment. You know, I'm getting a lot of people that are coming to me about David Martin's paperwork, and I'm not going to denounce the fact of what he says in there for the statements, but someone sending the wrong information on how to use that in that those documents. You can't make federal charges and send them, let's say, the calls I've been getting, they're sending them to the local prosecutors. The local prosecutors, we have notes now. We didn't send our petition to the prosecutor, even though it sounds like you should, for crimes against us. No, there's a certain hierarchy, and people are not told what that hierarchy is by their state and where to go look. And so these petitions, I didn't even look any farther because it's no sense. If you're putting them in the wrong spot, it gives the government an ability to ping-pong you between different government agencies. You don't send these criminal complaints to the prosecutor. They typically start at the sheriff. And then they have to be something relevant to the sheriff. And I've just done all that study in our own petition, so I know this is the fact. I read the statutes on it all. You can't just take these blanket form charges and drop them off, even though some prosecutors may be receptive to them. Maybe even the sheriffs may be receptive. People have to know the process better. And yes, there is a process, and it's done there. But due process for a reason. It's like the postmaster, being able to trust that the mail is delivered. Go read. It's a boring 4-hour movie. Go watch The Postmaster, why it's so important. Costner, is that the guy? Boy, that's stretching a memory. I don't even know if I have it. But anyway, the Dr. David stuff might be interesting, and I've seen some things. He's got it all lined up, but it's not necessarily actionable. And then to where people are just dropping it off. I'm having to field questions about, well, how come the prosecutor didn't take this? Well, what happened? Well, the prosecutor says it has to go to the sheriff. Well, yeah, because the sheriff has to get it. And then they tell you exactly what the due process is. They have to issue a number. They got to do this. They got to do that. And then maybe it gets transferred. And so that's not the more direct way to go, even though there's a way to go. And like I said, they're all dealing on the mitigation side, the mandate side. All his stuff is on all David Martin's proofs are on the mitigation side. It's fine to know that, but it's not your first challenge. Once you've successfully challenged that there was no, if you can, because the judiciary is absolutely corrupt, you'll see that in the first video I told you to go look. You see that hearing that it's not supposed to be happening because fraud is not supposed to be heard in a court of law or equity. You'll notice the silent, self-evident truth that there may not be a judiciary that can do anything for us. Probably not because they're part of it. And then you'll notice why I'm saying what I am relative to David Martin's approach. He's moving us off. We can make the criminal complaint. He sends us to the wrong place or doesn't clarify it, and then we don't know, and then you put yourselves into officials that may be interested. Even if they're interested, they're not really there to help you. They got other things to do as well. You can't make it so they have to figure stuff out. And if it's in laws that they don't have a jurisdiction over, they're not going to deal with it too much. Anyway, so thank you for that. Then I saw the video. I go over to the website. I see the information. I see the form lawsuits. Don't ever use those, folks. You have to know the process about the place where the forum you're in. That's a blessing in a way, and that's a curse in a way. Because it makes all these so-called countries, states, different. And they each have their policies, or their law, no, that was policy, in order how to proceed in due process. In other words, if you violate it, you're just saying you want to violate due process for everybody. And this is the thing with the David Tulis' case. He's saying there was due process denied to me. There was due process required denied to me. That's a crime. And I was affected. You're not supposed to be able to do that where law is first up. That's no different than my argument saying, well, the agencies aren't supposed to attack. The government's not supposed to attack a minor in the first instance. And we're not supposed to be challenged on what we do. We're supposed to be left alone to go dig dirt. Bust rock, you criminal. But at least they gave us something supposedly for it. They even stole that. Here's the point. We aren't in a government anymore. Not lawful government. That's what they call it, governance, a lot of times. But moving on in governance and into statesmanship and all that, interesting little thing came on relative to now I want to move over into how we, hopefully I get to the point of how to reflect what's going on in other places is like a broken mirror reflecting on the United States and how the people are already being treated here. But moving into this thing now into I don't know why today I'm having a trouble describing where it's at. It's in Eastern Europe. A front that's going on that we can hear and watch right in the news is strictly made up. No different than we find on the mining claim. They strictly make up that they have an authority. They make up who you are. They make up what you're doing that they claim is contrary to the law. It violates somebody else's rights, and they have disregard and have no regard for yours. But while they attempt to destroy you and impose their own agenda and then take advantage of just the fight itself. There's a lot going on, a lot of moving parts that these people have figured out that I don't see people have a clue one about, and it freaks people out. And I know that. And I've been coming here to talk all this time to give people the clue. Maybe they don't want to, maybe that's the problem. No one wants to hear the truth, the real truth, that they have to roll their sleeves up and they have to protect themselves. No one's going to do it for them. And it's scary. I tell you what, it's not fun to be facing some external foreign force that could invade you at any moment and beat you up, possibly kill you. And they're given the advantage. Have I described anything different than what's happening in Ukraine? But interesting little things going on. People trying to show up what they aren't and other people showing them that they're not. Welcome to the first annual Putin and Macron's weirdly large tabletop Photoshop challenge. Use this to make your own. Here are our entries. I found this because I noticed there was a picture where Macron from France was trying to be the peacemaker, going to Russia with nothing in his pockets, being part of NATO, being part of the people that are attacking, trying to make a plausible entry into a government they overthrew to advance their front, NATO front, into Russia. You got to put yourself in this. You own a piece of property, and this is what's happening to you. That Macron goes to Russia, and they end up having a photo picture here, that there's a 20-foot-long table that they sit on the end of, that someone made a lot of fun of and decided that they were going to put people around the table. There's so much distance between the two. Now, this is not unprecedented. I guess he did it to someone that he did supposedly like. They're also covering this up, but maybe it's about the COVID. But this was an interesting problem. Kind of highlighted the issue. I don't even know how the two would talk at a distance that level. That is just a disrespect going on. We can see what's happening. I think Russia is a larger statesman in the world than most people give credit for. More matter of fact on what you say and do on your contract, even if it's a gentleman's agreement. I have to agree with that because minors, that's all minors law was, is gentleman's agreements on a handshake. So I have a Not that I'm embracing Russia, because we're finding as we look at this story, it's not so kumbaya in the Eastern Europe either, okay, between themselves. But it's not enough for us to, as the United States, to foment and then try to make it sound like we're not doing anything. And this is my problem with all of this, because to me, this is COVID-19. This is the things that happened to our mining claims. Claiming that we're doing something wrong when all we're doing is what we're told to do. We have then to protect ourselves, and they blame you for protecting yourself. We have our own, if you will, sovereign border, if I can say that much without about the FBI getting all their tizzy in a matter. Yeah, I said that. Oh, a sovereign citizen. No, we called them the sovereign citizen. They're the sovereign citizen without law. We're just a grantee. And we are in our own border. exclusive possession and enjoyment within the lines of our location is what the law says. And yet we have these foreigners coming in and attacking us. Moving on to this picture, this is the most bizarre thing I'd seen in a long time diplomatically. Boy, Macron's not making any points here, and he doesn't. And he's continuing to try to France the peacemaker. It ain't working. Putin's not putting up with it. The other problem is that they have Ukraine itself are making problem statements relative to the United States lying about a Russian invasion based on, as we talked last week, the United States intelligence, which we're finding is not so intelligent. And it's not so much that, it's not truth either. It has a political end. This is a means to an end. It's not inert. And we see here aides say Zelensky's remarks on Ukraine's invasion, this is the president of Ukraine, making a comment, was ironic. He, under the professed threat that Russia was going to invade, he says, instead of that day, we're going to have Unity Day. Now, remember, that date of Russia invasion that came on the heels of credible evidence of the United States given to Zelensky did not come to fruition. And yet nobody denounces them and says, shut up, sit down, we don't want to hear from you no more. Nobody said that. Well, Russia's might, but not even then. They're too diplomatic, aren't they? People here didn't. But Zelensky says, we're going to make it a day of unity on the day that the Russians are supposed to invade. We're not going to be cowed by the Russian threat. Well, there is none. I told you this is a psyop. Another psyop. Like, I think, I just can't seem to shake the idea that the trucker's convoy, where they get you doing the wrong thing and defending the wrong thing, and rightfully so if you understood, you know, if that was all you understood, you would do that when that's the wrong thing, ultimately. You need to be focusing, don't be told what to do. You should have been stepping up. You can now step up and say what the right thing to have been done, and that you're the victim of that should be from your lips instead of protesting. So Russia comes up and they're the ones doing that right now over there. They're being chastised for protecting themselves. They've got an aggressor telling stories, a liar, making false witness. No evidence whatsoever has been produced. And then that there's going to be an attack from Russia. And Russia's saying, why are you bringing a bunch of foreign troops near our border? And so because you're doing that and you have no rationale for it, we're going to have to set up to protect ourselves. It's not much different than a cop telling you that you're a criminal and you go to protest that and you raise your hand. And because you raise your hand in defense, they call it furtive action and shoot you. Again, this is the cracked mirror reflecting on what happens in the United States already. It's happening to Russia. Notwithstanding my ignorance on whatever the not-so-kumbaya is between all those countries, that's theirs to deal with. But we found out NATO is not part of Ukraine is not part of NATO. They're, what's it called? Used to be called when they're looking for your consort, looking for your one to marry. There was a word to that. I think it started with a C as well. But anyway, courting. They're courting Ukraine. Yet, we have, as we go through the news, we find out they ought not to be doing anything. The United States ought not to be doing anything with Ukraine. And it's being denied. Biden says Ukraine invasion risk very high. Russia expels U.S. deputy ambassador, demands U.S. to leave Eastern Europe. All on American intelligence that's already been proven at least once, more like a dozen times, to be wrong. Fomented by a government that went in, and remember Madan, they overthrew, it appears to be the United States, overthrew the existing government to put in place the Muppets that are there right now. And don't forget that. That then NATO did a drill just here this last year or so on the border of Russia, causing Russia to say, oh, yeah, okay, well, we're going to show you what we can put up against that, like us playing cards. And then because Russia did that, then NATO claims that Russia's an aggressor. It's not a country, the United States, that I can trust. It's an embarrassment. Internationally, that no one's calling out. So I guess you just heard, I'm calling it out. Little pipsqueak here behind the woodshed's calling that out. That's fraud. It's no different, the fraud that happened in COVID, no different than the fraud that happened against us in our property, our territory, where we have exclusive possession and enjoyment within the lines of our location. If you understand that, you understand what I've been saying, watch what happens to other people in the other parts of the world at the hands of the United States government, and you'll see what's happening to you, whether you recognize that or not. What's been built into the system of the United States, even your taxes, you don't even understand your taxes, like a war against your property. You don't even know that. But Biden says the invasion risk very high. It hasn't happened yet. Likely won't happen. Russia's not that stupid. But yet they'll be blamed for not backing up from their own border. They're inside their border building up against a threat, a credible threat. Ukraine defies invasion threat as NATO sees no Russian pullback. Another part of the narrative, the failed narrative. Why would the Russian pull back from their own borders that you're threatening? Why would Ukraine defy an invasion threat that was already the statement of which has been failed? There's no actual movement happening, and Russia wouldn't, I don't think it'd be in its best interest to do that anyway. I guess that's my private opinion. I don't know why they would even want to do that. They haven't been in the last 10 years wired that way. They've been wanting to show that they work in cooperation. So the statement, Ukraine defies invasion, is a fraud. There's no invasion. And then NATO sees no Russian pullback. They don't need to see a pullback. These are just headlines. But this is, you got to read the story about what's going on and how they're building this up. They're rattling the sabers of a story in a novel that doesn't exist. At the same time they come around, the United States again does this against someone who has the right to speak, but will not be allowed to speak. You have the right to challenge the government for maladministration, yet you don't have the right when they come and say it's an emergency. Is this title, Anonymous U.S. Intel Officials Accuse Zero Hedge of Amplifying Kremlin Propaganda? If you speak against the system, that you're going to be put on the terrorist side. However, it doesn't matter. You can put Russia, you can put a trucker convoy, you can put Mineral State grantee, all in that Russia, where that word Russia is. Everybody other than the terrorist usurper under color of authority. And this is what's happening in Canada. You can't speak out, otherwise you're going to be hunted down and punished. And they're going to go after you, after your private infrastructure, your money, and how you get things, your vehicles, and how you get along in your livelihood. They're attacking all of that. And everybody lets it stand as an emergency without basis, and I'm protesting the mandates? No, you're way beyond protesting the mandates anyway. You always have been. So anybody who has a voice against it's going to have their social credit dinged, their finances cut off, their character assassinated. As we move on, they say they're advancing, the Zero Hedge is advancing Russian propaganda, yet a Ukraine ally says Western media reports of Russian attack were obviously fake news. And they go on to explain it. This is coming from an ally of the president of Ukraine. Slam the Western legacy media reports on imminent Russian invasion is obviously fake. Yeah, well, they were fake before they got there, and then they didn't culminate, and now what'd they do? They just changed, they're just going to invade sometime. Well, there's something real coming up, and I think that everyone who's been looking at this thinks about, they're starting by tomorrow, maybe for the week. New alerts are coming up in different countries. More people are moving out. It's become very, very, very serious. A gentleman who does a journalist who's there on the ground in the Donetsk side has said he's been there the whole time. Patrick Lancaster, I'll give his name. You can find him on the YouTube as well. He's got a Twitter account. Yeah, he said he's never seen, even when they were fighting, he's never seen what's going on right now happening. It's really, really serious. They're moving people out of Donetsk. People, just think about this, folks. You wake up in one morning and there, the government's telling you, you have to leave. You have to evacuate. Women, children, and elderly need to evacuate. And then the next thing out of their reports is every man between the ages of 18 or so and 55 needs to sign up to fight. to defend the Republic. They never did that back when. So this has really escalated quick. So, like I said, it's really so quickly. But this response to this thing on the Ukrainian side, on the Eastern Europe side, is crazy U.S. media coverage and is a bigger threat to Ukraine than Russian invasion. This is a Ukrainian parliament member, the government of the overtaken parliament. And we can read that story. The point I want to point out here is the, you know, we can say the government will lie and do whatever it wants to set up whatever it is. We're watching it in real time. People are going to die. People have been dying here now. Ukraine is now fighting because they think they got this big thug to help protect them. Yet, if you look very carefully, the United States doesn't care about Ukraine either. It could fail, and they're still going to be moving, get ready to move in. And I think they're hedging a bet that Russia knows it really shouldn't enter. And they're placing these two breakaway republics against Russia to see if there's going to be some help. And it's been admitted as well, the Donetsk Republic, I think a commander over there, says they're not going to Ukraine's not actually going to attack, he doesn't think, because they're afraid of what the Donetsk militia can do. They lost the last one. The point is, it's very serious, saber-rattling, and it's all based on deception and lies, all fomented by the United States. Zelensky came out and said he agreed that it was credible what the United States said because they said so. Is the same thing the State Department said, if you don't think that Zelensky may be another Muppet. And I want you people to look and see how they do this, because they're doing it to you at home. I guess this was the theme, watching this whole thing break out. I don't see a distinction between what they do out there and what they did in here, and like I've been telling you, more proof. And you're not going to stop the war against you until you work out how they're doing it against you and cut those lines of communication with the knife of the law, I guess I can say. The objective basis these officials were supposed to operate under. This is what Russia is tending to do. They're trying to explain to people there's certain agreements, and the United States has no clue, not only the culture, but they don't care that there are certain things that the United States agreed to way back when, that the people, those nations have agreed to. Not perfect, but everyone has their ability to do their own democracy. And where documents reveal United States government spent $22 million promoting anti-Russian narrative. Again, the lies coming from the United States are pervasive. And if we look past that, we're looking past what's going on in the lies that are being allowed in people who declare emergencies without authority as well. And I have links about who's getting hurt. It's all the civilians. They're attacking the civilian infrastructure. They're not attacking any military. Well, they are now. I mean, it's like I said, the story has gone really quickly. And I have a couple more links if you want to start to understand. I'm asking you to look at how this is being done to them. It is being done to you. The NATO said there was a promise not to expand NATO one inch back in 1991. I got a story for that, to show you that the government of the United States will expand they'll look at one inch to take. And I've told you, this is the incrementalism of the destruction of your way of life has been going on in the United States since the Civil War, more clearly since 9/11, more perfectly, that more perfect union is since the COVID. Please take note of how this is working and properly stand up. Properly make the records. I think it matters. I really think it matters. Statesmen, diplomatically, it matters. Look at the Declaration of Independence. It matters. Thank you for listening today. I hope something I said is helping you and that you can use. And I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs or Nature Will.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, I just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.